is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn, and nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. 1,000 people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Paranoia strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop.
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve a
us out and you can't make us run. Those Winsmore boys raised on shotguns. We say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
21 gigawatts!
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
All right, everybody, we're back for a third time. Some little jive turkey out there doing some denial of service attacks on my internet service provider. Why can't people just grow up, man? I mean, if they don't like what we're talking about, they could always just change the channel, but maybe that's not what they want, man. Maybe it's just an aggravation. Anyway, we're going to continue to preach free energy here at the Shaziz Radio Network. And, it's out there. If you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough. Nature has been an awesome teacher, has provided everything that we need, all the resources, you know. I say the creator of this world did a really fine job, outstanding job, did some amazing things. We got every single thing we need on this planet, every single resource available to us, everything we need to literally bring about utopia, so to speak, here on Earth, if we could all just come together and be the good caretakers we were meant to be. But, you know, we got to deal with greed and stupidity and DOS attacks on us while we try to spread the good word about free energy and other good alternative sources to the system that is the beast that's eating us all alive. You know, we can sit around and debate on how it all works. We already know enough right now to literally bring free energy into everybody's house. Clean, alternative, green energy that would work in harmony with nature. And for those folks out there that are out there protesting and doing all the stuff there, you're focusing your energy in the wrong doggone direction. You should be with your grassroots trying to sit there and help your alternative energy researcher design and develop and get all the resources together necessary to literally create them devices and not ask for permission from any representation or any government of the world. Just do it. You know, we outnumber the elite by the billions. So all these conspiracies that go on out here, we know they're corrupt. We've seen the system. Their track record shows what they do. All right? So with that said, the number and the power and the strength is in the masses. And so if you build your own infrastructure side by side with theirs and eventually their system becomes totally irrelevant, you don't need it anymore because you've already got everything in place that you need. You got your own power networks, your own education networks, your own food networks, and so on down the line. My friend Thomas Anderson's always saying it, you know, you need to get together and start networking. You need to do things together. You need to learn things and get with your neighbors and figure things out. That's the key to this whole deal. You know, if we're going to allow a little group, an insignificant few of the so-called wealthy elite of the world to do what they've been doing for the history of mankind, then we got to expect that we're not going to be happy. We're not going to be satisfied with the way that things work out. Because the wars and all this kind of stuff going on out there, these aren't of the average man's doing. I don't want to send my kids over to kill your kids, and I'm sure you don't want to do the same thing to me. So, you know, when it comes to resources, you tap into what's already being done. You know, there's volcanoes all over the place. You know, I wouldn't necessarily want to live next to a volcano, but if I could run an extension cord over to it, I don't see what the problem in that is. Using the steam that's already generated, you're not hurting anything. And all the natural gases of the world that you could actually tap into to use to create clean, free energy. There's wind power, there's solar power. We can sit around and argue and debate over how it works or all the high-tech terminology taught in school, the indoctrinations of bogus science that your children learn every day. They can sit there and live around in fear knowing that, thinking that the polar bears and everybody's going to die because of global warming and all this craziness. Well, you can teach them how to work in harmony to fix this world before it ever even gets to the point where it's going to crash. You know, we're already, as far as I'm concerned, we're already on the edge of extincting man. I mean, we done did so many stupid things that ain't even funny. Here it is, the year 2015, and we're still boiling water. You know, you turn it into steam. We're using highly enriched radioactive material that is hotter than all get out, and then all you have to do is have something go wrong where the cooling doesn't function the way it's supposed to, and now you end up with a hydrogen explosion. So why can't we learn from what nature's already taught us? Why can't we learn from the 1800s and even farther back than that, from inventions that went on? You know, we can send signals across light waves. We can piggyback energy on top of energy. We can just tap into what nature has already readily provided for thousands of years on this beautiful world that we live in. And everyone's out there talking about save the planet. They're talking about reducing your carbon footprint. But they're talking is talking. You know, getting up doing something about it. Doing something constructive. You know, you go out there with a sign that says save the trees. You got a paper sign that says save the trees, for Pete's sake. Was it at least recycled paper? You know? Come on. You see what I'm saying, Justin?
Yeah. We shouldn't be worrying about the trees, because it's a job that should be done and not even thought about. It should just be done. Like I said, I sweep up the keys from the maple tree, and I don't throw them in the garbage. I just bring them down to the canal bank or to the town line tunnel or wherever, and I put them on the ground. I see trees that I've planted 10 years ago.
Well, see, there's
I ride my dirt bike through those paths.
There's the key right
there. And I look
there.
At them every year, and I look at the life that I created. It brings me to tears because I enjoy it. It's not sadness, it's happiness. Every year that goes by, I see it get another foot taller, a little bit wider.
Well, see, there's the difference, though. See, you're putting back, you know, what you take away from one place, you put back. If you got to cut down a tree to build a house, then you plant another tree, you know. The materials are there for you to use.
Well, we shouldn't be using trees to make houses. We should be using solid rock.
Well, we could do that, too. I mean, it's...
Wait.
You know, there's another thing, too, about the modern-day society. We still build houses out of sticks, even though we know that some of us live in Tornado Alley and some of us live in Typhoon Central or Hurricane Alley or even Tsunami Alley or whatever, you know. We live in all these diverse places with all this crazy weather, and we still, to this day, here in the year 2015, ain't figured out how to use the chemistry that we've figured out to build houses that won't fail in worst-case scenario. Seriously? It's just crazy, man.
Well, if you live in one of those accident-prone areas... then your building codes will be very sloppy, because they want the building to fall apart and be as less costly as it could be. It's designed to fall apart.
Well, now, that's that's what I'm talking about, man. You know, I'm sitting here trying to type a message. Anyway, you know, look. You gotta look at the track record. Mankind has... Doggone it, I even typed that in the wrong doggone room. This Neil's has had me distracted, man. Do-do-do-do-do. I'm talking to my friend here, trying to see if he wants to come on the show with us. Alright, look. The track record of the government stinks. You know, they're still out there bombing people. They're still out there running everybody into the poorhouse. They're still out there wasting energy. Their track record stinks. Nobody can deny that. That's not a conspiracy theory. It's fact. All you got to do is go back and look through history, and you can see what they've done. And so, you know, with that said, if we the people want a better world, then we the people are actually going to have to do it ourselves. It's get up off the couch, shut off Dancing with the Stars kind of mentality that we need to get going on in this world. Otherwise, we get what we get, you know? And... if you guys are satisfied with what you got, then let's go keep the status quo and, hey.
I hate to leave you, Shaziz, but something just really came up. I got to leave.
All right, well, I'll drag my friend in there. Thanks, it's been a fascinating deal, man.
Thanks for having me.
I'm probably not going to be around for the Knights of the Round Table. I got to find somebody to do that show for me, but we'll work it out. Anyway, I'll catch you later, Justin. Take care. So, Steve, are you in there yet? Maybe I'm by myself. Do-do-do-do-do. All right, everybody. Well, you're listening to Mad Science, and I thought I had Steve in there, but apparently I don't. Let me try this again. Maybe his microphone ain't working. Do-do-do-do-do. Isn't this a wonderful world we live in? Hello, do I have you this time?
Bonjour.
Bonjour. Well, you know what, man? This has been one heck of a show today because, like, DOS attacks, denial of service, are they trying to shut me up or something? I don't know. You know, modern technology, what are you going to do? Anyway, we've had a fascinating show. Have you been able to hear any of it?
No, I've literally just got back online, mate.
Well, let me try to give you the quick, brief rundown. I started off by posting a whole bunch of links and videos in there about... are you familiar with the photo phone designed by Alexander Graham Bell?
Video phone.
Yeah,
photo
phone. Essentially, transmitting sound waves across light. You know, so it's a light telephone. They also do the same thing with a laser microphone.
Yeah. I looked that up about 4 years ago.
Yeah, pretty cool stuff, man. Anyway, me and Justin been talking about, you know, how nature has provided every single thing that we need, you know, and if back in the 1880s they were talking on light waves, sending sound waves across light waves and transmitting signals that way, and all the things that we have at our disposal, there ain't no energy crisis, never been no energy crisis. Energy's been free all along. People just don't want to, you know, get together and do it. You know? It's nuts.
Well, I have to disagree with you there, Shadiz. There is an energy crisis.
Yeah, well, it's got to do with common sense.
It's got to do with the amount that we have to waste just to get by.
Oh, yeah.
That's the real energy crisis. The amount of wasted energy on supporting a very small number of people so they can have a hell of a lot more than they'll ever need. That's the real energy crisis. Because if we put our actions and energies into actual practical applications, you know, fraternity, brotherhood, you know, citizenship, being part of a community that's actually of value to everybody rather than just a very small minority, yeah, it would kind of be a much better use of energy, don't you think?
Yeah. I just, you know, I'm aggravated because, you know, here we are, like I said, in the year 2015, and we're still boiling water with highly refined radioactive material. We're still in the steam age, and we got so much potential. We should be so much further advanced than what we are. There shouldn't be no commercials on TV talking about people starving, you know, or, you know, power grids going down and stuff like that. One of the biggest... worries in the alternative media world is, you know, what if the power grid goes down? Well, what if it does go down? That doesn't mean you can't have electricity. It means that you ought to start preparing beforehand and start supporting your alternative energy researchers. There's tons of them out there and some really brilliant individuals that have all kinds of good ideas. There shouldn't be no question of it.
If the power grid went down, that just would mean that I got less chance to teach teenagers the creative profanity on online gaming.
Well, see, that might be a plus, man.
It would actually be a benefit to society because there'd be a lot less teenagers running around swearing.
Yeah, a lot less foul-mouthed heathens out there running amok.
Oh, no, there wouldn't be heathens. They'd be highly educated, profane young men.
Oh, man.
I do actually compliment myself on being the master of the single entendre.
Well, hey, you got to be good at something.
Well, let's put that by the side, but I get what you mean by the energy crisis. But are people aware that wireless communications have existed for centuries, if not thousands of years?
Yeah, they, you know, you're going all the way back to smoke signals, and you got the Marconi's wireless energy, the telegraph, the transmitting sound waves across light, Tesla's coils and all that kind of stuff. There's so much technology that has been kind of like slipped under the rug or shoved off in the corner because...
So this, where do you think Morse code came from?
Well, I guess a guy named Morse designed it.
Oh, he designed it, but it wasn't his idea. Because if you look back into ancient history,
people would get a bamboo tube, stick it in the river, tap on it, and another guy with another bamboo tube down the stream would be listening for the taps.
Yeah, well, there you go, man. See, and they figured it out way back then. Why couldn't we get even farther than we are right now? It's all about money and power structure, man. And all these individuals out there of the so-called elite representation of the world that are supposedly looking out for your best interest, their track record stinks. It's a proven track record over and over. If Pete and Repeat were in a boat and Pete fell out, who'd be left, you know? The fact of the matter is, if we the people want a better world, then we the people got to be the one doing it. We don't have to tear down the infrastructure that's already going on. We can just let it go on the way it's going on and then start working around it, start building a society side by side, and eventually theirs will become irrelevant, you know? And if we refuse to go over and fight in their wars and send them, say, look, man, y'all started that fight. You get over there in the ring and take care of it your own self, you know? We're giving
them... I mean, if you don't want people to go to war and bomb little brown people in mud huts in the middle of nowhere that have done nothing to anybody, then stop paying your taxes.
Yeah, there you go, man.
Kind of simple as that, really. You're giving them the money to do it.
You handed the credit card to the criminal and said, hey, you know, go ahead and take care of stuff. Just remember, don't forget to take care of me while you're taking care of your stuff, you know.
Haven't we heard this, no representation without taxation, but what if your taxation does not represent your view, or the common view?
Yeah, and all these guys that go out, guys and gals that go out there and they holler and complain about gun control, you know, oh, we get rid of all the guns, we'll get rid of all the violence and stuff, and the only ones that should have guns would be the cops and the army, you know. Well, wait a second, you know, if you're going to be gun control or gun free, you should go clear across the board and nobody has a gun. Everybody's bent down to bare knuckles, and if you want to fight with the next country over there, you guys get over there and fist fight and duke it out and may the best man win, you know? And you'll get job security for the dental guys, you know? The dentistry office will be filled up because... You know, somebody's going to have to replace those chipped and failing teeth after y'all get through fighting your war over there, you know?
Well, what do you do?
It's job security. But at least nobody's dying over it. Come on. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, you look at Don Blaine. This was an issue in England, March 1996. Where some loony walked into a school full of children with a pistol and started shooting everybody. It was brutal. And they put a gun ban on handguns in the UK. Now, the average age of somebody that owns a handgun in Birmingham is 19.
Well,
when they bring in gun laws, the only people that do have them are the cops, the army, and people that don't obey the law.
Well, there you go, man. You know, the whole thing is, the common sense of the whole thing is, in order for you to get people to stop doing crazy stuff, you need to start working along together, you know, side by side. You know, people's out there protesting the war effort. Yeah, they don't want you over there fighting the war. But on the other hand, you know, they're causing their own problems in the process. I said to Justin a little earlier, I said, you know, the guy's gone out there to... With a picket sign saying "Save the Trees," he's got a cardboard sign that says "Save the Trees." I mean, did he at least use recycled paper when he did that, or you know, what was the stick made out of?
You know, they say cut down all the trees so you've got something to put in a tree museum.
Yeah, there you go. We're talking about planting seeds. While you, if you have to use one, you take one away. And then therein lies another craziness of the whole deal. You know, why are we still building our houses out of sticks? You know, when there's other materials.
I had that conversation with somebody earlier today, just today. If you live in Tornado Alley, have you not ever heard the story of the three little pigs?
Yeah.
Why do you build your houses out of wood? And you have a tornado tearing through your town.
Yeah, why not use some of the science that we've learned about aerodynamics and build your house like a dome shaped or something where the wind will just swirl around it and go right on by instead of blowing your house over.
Look, even stressed pretensile concrete is not necessarily going to survive, but you can build yourself a shelter in the middle of it that will.
Yeah, and see, look, man, we don't even have to, like I said, the reason why I say we don't have an energy crisis, we have a common sense crisis, because
yeah.
A couple guys here can figure out all this stuff, and yet the world still does what the world does. I mean, it's nuts. It's flat out nuts. Why go over and bomb the crud out of somebody and then get on the same TV where you told everybody, well, you know, we had to go over there and bomb this terrorist guy. Unfortunately, we took out some collateral in the process, but we still need you to reduce your carbon footprint.
When you say collateral, do you mean women and children washing their clothes outside some mud-up village?
Well, that's their high-tech terminology for trying to make it sound palatable to you to listen to. You know, collateral damage. Oh, well, that's just collateral damage. That's nothing big, you know. Well, that's people. Those are human beings we're talking about. When they say collateral damage, what they should really be saying is we killed a bunch of men, women, and children. You know? And these are your representation. These are your governments, your parliament individuals, your kings and queens and so on and so forth. These guys don't care about you. They never did. Your cattle, your slaves, your sheep. And if you ever want to get anything accomplished, then what you need to do is get up and do it yourself. Nothing gets done until you get off the couch. And if you can't find clean, free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough for it. If you're over there protesting the coal factory with your paper sign and all that kind of stuff, talking about got to save the whales and you got to save the polar bears and the planet from global warming / climate change, I have to say you're worse off than the guy over there burning the coal. You're
coming. The loony left gave Genghis Khan a carbon footprint award because he murdered that many people that, you know, it kind of saved the planet for a couple hundred years.
It's just nuts, man. You know,
it's not nuts, it's perfect sense. If you have a brutal psychopath that tears across Europe and the Russian Asian steppes and murders everybody that gets in his way, burns the village, burns their livestock, it just all returns to nature. And isn't it warm, cuddly, and fuzzy?
Yeah, but see, there's a key word in there. And his process was the problem. He's burning stuff on the way through.
Oh, come on. Where do you think the USMC got crash and burn, shock and awe from?
Well,
you know, burn everything in your path.
Of course, but if you're going to sit there and go burn everything in your path and then come on TV and tell me about reducing my carbon footprint, I'm going to tell you, look, you hypocrite, you need to stop burning stuff down and blowing up bombs and flying them jets through the air if you're so worried about the planet. Then save the planet and do practice what you preach.
Well, let's just look at the Cancun climate change conference there a few years back. The limousines used to bring prostitutes to the conference center had a larger carbon footprint than most small countries.
Well,
it's an obscure point, but there was actually somebody that went out there and calculated it.
You know,
and you look at all these people that have massive, massive wealth. They have their own private jets. These are the people that are pushing the nonsense about we need to buy into their carbon trading scheme because oil is screwing up the planet for them too.
Yeah,
so what they need to do is to find another way to stop the pollution so their kids won't grow up with three eyeballs.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing, man. They're saying we the people need to do it. You know, you guys need to do it. You know, they're not saying we're going to let go of our corporate jet and we're going to take a ricochet to the next meeting. You know, they're talking about you do it. You turn your lights off. You shut your car off. You go live in a mud hut. You do this. Live out in the reality TV show Naked and Afraid. They want you naked out in the woods somewhere so the gators and the skeeters can get you and the snakes and spiders. You know, that way they can live high on the hog and everything, stealing their jets and all that. I mean, hey, you cut back, and that way I can live in comfort. That's what the kings and queens have been doing for the history of time. Kings and queens ain't eating the same slop you're eating. They're not eating genetically modified foods. They're eating food that is clean, that is pesticide free. You know? But it's okay for you.
You know, Shaziz, I'll never be part of a royal legacy.
A what legacy?
Royal. I can never be a blue blood.
Well, I couldn't either, man. And half of them are dating their cousins and such, so they probably aren't too brain savvy.
Well, it's more of a case of genetics. I don't have any sisters to marry so he can keep chins out of family portraits.
Oh, what a
But that's what it comes down to, really. You've got a group of people that thought it was a really good idea to inbreed for centuries. And, you know, if it was a bag of puppies, they'd be off the nearest bridge in a black plastic bag. But for some reason, we value these people to rule society for us. And they don't run it, they rule it. They literally rule it. What they say goes. And these people are so heavily inbred that, you know, it's crazy. If I wanted to marry one of my cousins, I'd get locked up. But, you know, they have a massive, great big party and the whole country turns out for it.
Yep. In case y'all haven't noticed out there, you're listening to Shaziz Mad Science. We had some technical difficulties, so I'm trying to get a little bit over time in here. So,
well, I'll tell you what, Shaziz, let's drop the opinions and let's look at science itself. I mean, what's new, what's fresh in the marketplace that people can actually use and utilize for their own personal benefit, so they can say to the man, well, look, you know, great idea, but I don't really need it.
Well, look, sometimes I sound like I'm repeating myself over and over again, and I guess maybe to some extent I do, but it's the common sense thing that drives me insane. You know, we already know what the governments and stuff like that of the world are doing, and for us to sit around and have to even remotely discuss this over and over again is ridiculous. Because we got every single answer to every single question, every single problem has a solution out there. All we have to do is come together and do it. Yes, I mean, get up off your couch. Yeah, I got an echo going on. Instead of throwing all your stuff in the trash bin and having it dumped off into huge landfills that everybody complains about stinks, then why not recycle that stuff? For Pete's sake, over there in Europe, they were taking plastic bottles and turning it into petrol. That's just one little tiny example, man. Yeah.
The point I'm trying to make is instead of throwing the toys out the pram, take the wheels off the pram, put a few pulleys on it, and hook it up to a windmill.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, there's all kinds of solutions out there.
It's got to be about solutions. I mean, we know the world is kind of a crap place, and there's people in it that are spending a lot of their time, effort, and energy to make sure it stays that way. But it does not mean that there is not just fundamental, rudimentary technologies that we can implement on an everyday basis just to limit what we have to give to the man.
Yeah, we've been giving a lot to the man. But that's the key, man. Look. There are close to 8 billion people on this planet, and I'll argue with everybody till I'm blue in the face. We could support 10 times the population if we really wanted to. But we'll go into all that. I'm just saying.
Hey, it looks like we got someone joining us.
Yeah, we got Matthew in there. How you doing there, Matthew?
I'm doing pretty good. I was just grabbing me some headphones so that way we don't have any feedback anymore.
Cool.
But I agree with you guys 100%. Everything needs to be recycled. I mean, there's energy everywhere, and I mean, you'd be amazed what you can find on the side of the road.
Well, and there's the key, man. There, look, these folks out here that are complaining about the raggedy old infrastructure we've got going on, and they're going to keep on complaining about it, expecting the government to do something about it. Look, my tax dollars put that pothole in the road for you to bust your rim on, okay? Now, and as far as the power grid, going out every time you turn around, every time there's a storm, Why are we doing it the way we're doing it? Why are we shipping our electricity across power lines? Tesla was doing it wirelessly, you know. Back in the 1800s, they were sending signals with light waves, radio, you know, voice over light, you know.
Yeah, but Shaziz, how can you charge a what do they call it? A maintenance fee for not having an infrastructure?
Well, that's the whole key, ain't it? You got to be able to charge me for that electricity.
All right, have a meter on there.
Look, man, if they can't put a meter on it, they don't want it. All right, there's going to be a meter on everything. You're going to have this device, this apparatus, stuck to your face for every time you're long-winded and mouthing off and that CO2 is coming out of your mouth. That little meter is going to be spinning like a top, and you're going to have to pay taxes just to open your mouth and breathe. So if you can hold your breath, you can save money. Does that sound like what the future's heading towards?
Pretty much. Yes, to me.
Yeah.
And all they want to do is charge you. I mean, they're going to charge you for the carbon that you breathe, and for the air that the carbon you're putting out into the air.
That's it. And they're all up there in their corporate jets and mansions and stuff, telling you to reduce your carbon footprint.
Yeah.
They got the dog.
They're putting in thousands of dollars to get from one place to another inside of a jet.
Yeah. Look, if they want to be a leader, this is what they need to do. They need to hot their doggone their mansions, take all that money, divide it up amongst the needy, like send some food over to the people who are hungry, and some blankets and clothes to the poor. They need to find some shelter for the homeless, and then they need to go to their corporate meetings in rickshaws where their buddy that's going to the same meeting, they take turns pulling that rickshaw over to the doggone meeting so that they can reduce the carbon footprint. When they do that, I'll jump on the bandwagon. But in the meantime,
I think it's funny because America, I love America because I live here, and I mean, our causes are good for some reasons, but horrible in others. But we sit here and we promote democracy, we promote this, we promote that. We can't even take care of the people that are here in our own country.
Yeah.
And that's just sad that we spend, like, for an example, I mean, just look at, like, for instance, let's just say hypothetically speaking here. And for the past 10 years or 5 years, whatever it is, let's just take 5 years of the war that we've invested in. Now, if you took money that we've invested into this war and invested it into, like, just our own country, you could put a solar system on every person's house that would sustain every person in the United States for the amount of money that we've put into war. We could have free energy in the United States.
Yeah, and for those knuckleheads out there trolling the alternative energy community saying, oh, there ain't no such thing as free energy, I'm telling you what, that's got to be the most ignorant people on the planet, right?
Oh, definitely.
Look, you got...
You can always get more than you put into something as long as you induce, for people who doesn't know what that means. And whenever you bring a magnet into an electrical circuit, you're always going to get more than you put into it.
Well, see, here's the key. For argument's sake, I'm not trying to get out more than I put in. I'm not looking for 0 point, nor am I looking for alternative energy. All I'm looking to do is tap into what nature's already provided and have it do some usable work.
Well,
such as
Earth
we
is
got,
a huge magnet.
We got volcanoes that are going off all the time that have steam vents and heat vents, so there's tons of thermal electricity going on right there that we could tap into. We've got lightning going off on this planet 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There are rivers flowing. There are waves coming in and out of the ocean. There is wind blowing on this planet. You could build a strategic power grid that would put power in everybody's house and then some for the next 10 billion years or more, as long as this planet keeps doing what it's doing, and you wouldn't have all the problems that you got going on. All you're doing, you're not harming nature, you're just tapping into what you already have and letting nature do all the work, all right? While we go around here and do what we should have been doing and taking care of making sure everybody's got food and stuff. You see what I mean?
Nice farms, because now you ain't got to worry about having these big, ugly places all over the place that are kicking out carbon everywhere, and just make it a green hospital, you know, a nice
nice planet, but now we're in the industrial stage still. We're stuck in the 60s still.
Well,
60s, 50s, and 70s. Time to worry about next man's pocket.
The hypocrisy goes back to standing out there protesting with a sign that says "Save the Trees." You got a cardboard sign with a wooden stick and it says "Save the Trees."
Well, that is recycling, should this?
Huh?
That is recycling.
Well, okay, if it's got recycled paper, there's at least a half a justification for it, but once again, you still use the tree.
Why don't we put a different phrase on it? Instead of recycling, why not repurposing?
There you go.
As Matthew said, we're still stuck in the industrial era, way back in the 60s. And you look at the amount of stuff that has been manufactured and produced in the last 50 or 60 years. Too high quality, with good components. Instead of recycling, why don't we call it repurposing?
There.
And what that needs is it needs the smart and technically inclined people in the world to come up with new and interesting ways of not killing people, but finding freedom for people. Because energy is free, but harnessing requires not necessarily money, but resources. And as you said, Matthew, there's so much stuff on the side of the road. And you're going to put your time, energy, and intellect into, you know, trying to get that next corporate job.
These guys and gals up at the top, they don't want you to know this kind of stuff because, for one, you can't be the king if nobody needs your leadership, you know. If you think that the king is smarter than you and you're willing to follow the king, well, that's cool. Follow the king. As long as he guides you to the safety and prosperity, more power to you. But their track record stinks. They still go out there and drone strike people while telling you to reduce your carbon footprint. There's still people starving in this world. There's still trash after trash. For Pete's sake, go over here to the United States and watch some of these knuckleheads drive their cars down the road. And they got a bumper sticker on the back of their car that says "Save the Planet" while they're throwing their McDonald's wrappers out the window. Come on,
the
man.
Ones that drive at 100 miles an hour that say "Baby on Board."
Yeah!
Yeah, baby on board. Watch how you're driving. Watch
for don't get in my way.
Red light.
And the only ones that needs guns are the police and the military. Well, you know, wait a second. If you think anybody needs a gun, then everybody needs a gun because you can't trust anybody these days. So everybody needs to arm up or disarm. One way or another, you can't have it both ways.
And our founding fathers even said that. We have to bear arms. That's the only thing that's going to keep us strong because as soon as we lose our ability to defend ourselves, that's when Jade Helm's going to kick in.
Well, these
nobody knows what Jade Helm is yet. I hope everybody wakes up and realize what's really going on. Please don't vote for Obama for a third session.
It's all about power and money. And then
I've lots of euphemisms for Jade Helm.
Yeah. I bet you do, brother. Look, I'm saying this. Look. If you can't find free energy, you're not looking hard enough for it. Back in the 1800s and even before then, they were doing some amazing things. There's been clean, free energy. They had really awesome electric cars back in the day. And, you know, we don't have to use an internal combustion engine, but I don't see any reason why we can't. Why can't we just use it all? Why can't we just, instead of wasting energy, why can't we make this doggone internal combustion engine work so efficiently and so cleanly that it's not polluting?
Well, even if, I mean, just like for instance, you know, like your wind turbines, right? You know how that motor sets up. Why can't that be incorporated into like your vehicle, right where all your wheels are, where your drum discs are? Throw in some coils in there, it'll charge a battery pack up while you're moving. Then you have all these air vents in your vehicles. Why not throw another motor where the air can hit those?
Matthew, why do you need to pay the price of the average family home to have something like a BMW or a Mercedes that incorporates regenerative braking into the car system?
Yeah, so that way, whenever you want to stop, that kicks in your coils, so that way it induces, you know, I see exactly what you're saying. And whenever you want to stop, that's when you're creating more energy, too.
Stephen Givens put a brilliant comment in the chat room. He said, we live in a giant recycling ball. We call Earth floating in a giant recycling solar system, floating in a giant recycling galaxy, floating in a giant recycling universe. Nature shows you how to recycle, but are you paying attention? Or are you still sitting on the couch eating your toxic donuts with watching Dancing with the Stars or Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, sitting there dreaming about the day you can get wealthy and buy you a bigger dump and get even fatter?
Yeah.
You're going to complain about the government. You're going to complain about the doggone environment, and you're going to sit there and not do nothing about it.
What can I do? All it takes is one person. I mean, that's said in every culture. I mean, one person can make a difference.
Here's an idea.
Because you're going to set an example for others.
Start off cleaning your own backyard and then work your way out. That's it.
You can't help anybody else out, so you help yourself out, too.
Well, people have said to me that before, Matthew, what can I do? And I said, I don't know. What can you do?
Yeah.
And they said, what was that thing? And I said, well, what do you want to do? Do you feel that you're stupid or something?
Well, that's what the system would want you to believe, that you're stupid and powerless. Okay, like, we can't go up against the government because the government's got all these guns and bombs and such, and they're gonna guillotine us.
It's not even going up against the government. It's going up against yourself. If you don't believe you can do something, you can't do it.
Well, it's just like funny. For instance, like, I just threw up a new video where I'm using the Gerard warning pump to charge the battery, and I'm showing that I'm using less energy to put into the pump than what's charging the battery, so I can turn on this pure wave inverter. So then yesterday I just got a nice little comment on there, and the gentleman's like, oh, you really know how to explain yourself, like, just criticizing me. And so then I go and I put my remark back onto the comment. I was like, well, thank you for stating the obvious. I was like, I do believe I mentioned that inside my video, but I really don't know what's going on with the circuit, and if there's any Einsteins out there that could help me out, I'd greatly appreciate it. So I told him, I was like, you can just take the negative criticism and keep it to yourself. If you don't want to give out a lending hand, the world would be a better place if you would just be quiet and mind your own business.
Yeah.
And I was like, and that's what it comes down to. It's like, if you don't have nothing to say, it's going to help benefit anybody, why say anything at all?
Yeah, that's like the doggone guys that I'm talking about. They're in your YouTube channel. They're on my YouTube channel. They're on all alternative energy, alternative media of every sort, criticizing. But what have they done? They haven't done nothing. You go to their channel, they even got a video.
I go onto their YouTube to see, what kind of person it is, just to educate myself to see, maybe this person might know a little something. I go onto their website, and so then to their YouTube channel. So then I check and see like their watched videos and what they watch. And this guy's worrying about his buttocks, his hamstrings, working out his hamstrings, making cat food. I mean, come on now. Now let's, and you're going to criticize me for me trying to educate myself on making more reasonable energy, and then you're worried about making cat food. I mean, come on now.
Well, the
vegan cat food.
What?
Was it vegan?
No, it wasn't vegan. It was just how to make regular cat food. I didn't watch the video. I just looked at some of the videos that this gentleman was watching. I'm like, and then you have the audacity to criticize me.
If it's not vegan cat food, the guy's a wuss anyway. I mean, don't pay any attention to it.
I'm with you 100% with vegan food. I believe that.
I'm joking.
That is a kosher vegan diet. It's really good.
Well, anyway, guys, look. It all boils down to this. The doggone hypocrisy of even the environmentalists on this planet is just ludicrous. I mean, they'll all pack into a bus and go to a protest when they all should be taking rickshaws and taking turns pulling each other in a rickshaw. I mean, you're going to have to practice what you preach if you're going to do what you're talking about. Al Gore on steroids, he's sitting there, he's talking about how we got to save the planet from carbon emissions while he still flies in a corporate jet, still rides in a limousine, lives in a huge mansion, making millions of dollars off his ignorant book called Earth in the Balance. Well, if he really even cared about this doggone Earth in the Balance thing, then he would practice what he preached. If he really believed that doomsday was right around the corner, why buy a mansion next to the seashore where you talk about the sea levels going to rise? Common sense dictates listen to what the idiot's saying before you go out there and panic and tell everybody the polar bears are going to drown. Newsflash, polar bears are designed to float. That polar bears can swim for miles.
Shaziz, it comes down to love and fear. And I've mentioned it a couple of times on the show. And it's a very simple example, but I had just a bog standard gasoline generator in my back garden. It wasn't very good, it wasn't very powerful. But when we had a power cut, I had a choice between love and fear. Now, my neighbours both had small children on either side of my house. And when the power went out, I started up my generator and I threw an extension cord over both sides of the fence so the family on either side had their fridges running so their milk that was chilled for their children.
Yeah.
And I had a choice between love and fear. And I love my neighbours. I mean, I don't particularly want to sleep with him because he's a big, hairy Polish guy, but but I love the idea that his family are kept safe, that his energy that he's put in to provide for them is protected because I did something as simple as throw a bit of white electrical cable over the fence with a plug socket on it.
Well,
this is where we've got to get to.
That's it. That's common sense.
That's a cool story, man.
That's the mentality
That's what motivates me, is stuff like that, you know what I mean?
I mean, the generator cost me $200. It sat there unused for the best part of 4 years. But the one time we needed it, it was there.
Yeah, and it came in handy. Yeah.
So
it's nice to have something and not need it and not have it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as they say in the military, if you've got a detonator, one is none, two is one. It's kind of a violent anachronism, but they have a point that you need to make sure you have a plan B.
Well, what is it that people are upset about? What is it that actually brings people to war where they want to kill each other, you know? Money, resources, and so on and so forth. We already know all this stuff, man.
I thought it was the draft where they go to young men and say you've got to go to a foreign country and kill somebody you've never met that's never done anything to you.
It just irritates me to think somebody else thinks that they're better than you when we all breathe the same air. And when you turn off the lights, we're all the same color. If it wasn't light, you wouldn't know the difference.
Well, see, here's one of the stories that hit me the hardest about all the different things that we've been talking about here. There was a man that was asking a couple little Palestinian girls that could they ever want peace with Israel? Well, the little Palestinian girls first come out and said, we hate Israel because they killed our mom and dad. Well, you just talked about a perpetual state of war that is going to go, you killed my mom and dad, I'm going to kill your mom and dad. There's got to be some point. Some point or what, we break those chains and we stop killing each other's moms and dads. You know, otherwise this is going to be a continuous repeat of history over and over and over again. And if you want the world to be a better place, there's only one way to start, and that's you doing it yourself. Set down the doggone weapons of war, pick up the weapons of common sense, and start doing something decent in this world, and stop complaining about it. My congressman and my senator, they're corrupt. Well, yeah, you're allowing them to be corrupt. You handed them the credit card. You pulled the lever and said, I want the Democrats in charge. You pulled the lever and said, I want the Republicans in charge. And now you're sitting around crying because what they've done is the same thing they've been doing. You knew they were corrupt when you pulled the lever, but the ends justify the means. The lesser of two evils is what you settled for. You don't have to settle for the lesser of two evils. You can just settle for what's right and what's wrong. You know what I mean?
Sure is. Re-election's not a bit like a one-armed bandit.
Yeah.
You know, you keep pulling the lever, and it takes forever to get the jackpot. And most of the time, you lose.
Yeah, it's always in favor of the House, man. The House usually wins the deal.
It's that one time that you get it right, that's what matters, you know?
Well, now's our one time. Now's our one time to get it right. And we could.
That's what makes it
We could get it right.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Everybody's on the right page for the most part. I mean, there are some arrogant people out there, but, you know, maybe they had a hard life, and maybe they just need, you know, some love in certain areas.
Yeah, but see here, at some point in the game, you have to just drop it, man. You have to look. I could say I've had a rough life, and I have had a rough life. I can say that the reason why I'm a jerk is because I've had a rough life, you know? And I can just use that as a crutch to continue to be a jerk and continue to add to the negativity of the world, or I can learn from my past mistakes and want a better world and just change my own self, you know what I mean?
You're a product of your environment, what you put yourself around and surround yourself with.
Yeah.
So if you put yourself around good people and good environments and start teaching yourself, that's what's going to come about. That's how your dreams happen.
Look,
that's big dreams that people are always worried about. You can't achieve them if you don't apply yourself.
Another small example of what I'm talking about is the cursing issue that we've been dealing with on all these radio networks. Okay, you know, we're all grown adults. We can sit around foul mouth all we want, you know. We're free to do so. But if you want to bring people to the table and you want to show respect, then you try to use some proper language that is not offensive to everybody. You know, I'm not saying you got to censor what you're trying to say, but say it in a more constructive manner as to which, you know, you get your point across. You don't have to throw trash to the wind to get what you want. You know what I mean?
Sure is. Save it for the PlayStation.
Yeah. All I'm saying is, here on this network, we want to hold a little bit higher standard for what we're saying, all right? There's tons of networks out there. If you want to be a radio host on Shaziz Radio Network, plan on coming here and being respectful to others, or plan on going to one of those other networks where they don't care what kind of trash you throw out. We're not into fear-mongering. We're not into filth. We're into trying to respectfully work on solutions and put ideas out there that people can grab these ideas and run with them and solve the issues of the world. That's what it's all about.
What ideas have we got, Shaziz?
We got tons of ideas.
This is mad science. This isn't, having a whinge. What ideas do we have? Let's just run down the list of it.
We got Dini circuits. You have the Dini circuits. You can look those up on YouTube. Those are for charging batteries that, you know, you really can't normally get charged with a typical charger. It induces a radiant energy into your battery core and slowly desulfurs it. So that way when you got bad batteries with bad cells, you can desulfur your batteries and get some kind of power out of them. You got your Tesla coils for alternative lighting and alternative wireless energy. That really comes into play. You got Deeds and LaserSave and Abrams Labs. They all show you this stuff. They'll educate you. You can look up the circuits online. If you don't understand it, I mean, give us a shout out. I mean, we're more than happy to help educate you. That's what we're all here for. We're all trying to help each other out. And so then, I mean, these are just some of the stuff that's out there.
The world is full of nerds that like nothing better than to give you more information than you ever wanted.
Yep. We have hydroelectrics.
Do not be afraid of asking questions.
We have hydroelectrics. We have thermoelectrics. We have earth batteries. We have static energy. We have wind power, solar power. We have every single bit of and more energy to run this entire planet for 365 days a year, with every single individual leaving their toaster and their lights on 24/7 without even having to pay a bill.
You have AC all day long.
You can
or you'd have heat all day long. Don't have to worry about that big old electric though.
You can make solar panels out of raspberries and
pipe. I was just about to say that. I was going to make some out of grapes.
I made some.
Grapes would probably be better than raspberries.
Very possibly, but there is a photoelectric chemical in raspberries.
I'll be right back. You guys take it for a bit.
No worries for this. But this is my point, Matthew. You seem to be on the same page as us. You seem to be a pretty smart guy. And what I'm saying to people is, we're no smarter than anybody else. We're just more determined.
So we're applying ourselves in different areas that other people wouldn't, in other words. So, that's what we all need to do, though. Is
we're
we all
applying
need to
ourselves
together.
In different areas as well. What is this? What I do, what you do, it's different.
Yes,
it's
because
you're the same stuff.
led a different life than me. So you're more educated in some areas and vice versa because of the trials and tribulations that both of our paths have went down.
Well, it's not even that. It's available resources. What you have in the US, I don't necessarily have where I am. But it doesn't mean to say you can't have a look around and see what's there.
Yeah.
There's a billion solutions to the same problem. But you've got to be dedicated and, well, not even dedicated, but at least motivated to try and find a solution.
Have an ambition, you know, something to put one foot in front of the other. And
I mean, I knew a guy in England, Matthew, I'm English, who knew every score of every football match. He was like Rain Man. He could just sit there and spiel off every single goal that was scored in the Premier League for nearly 100 years of football. And I said, what if you focused on which politician had voted on which law over that same period, and then put it together in an informational database that people could look at?
And understand it in a more logical way. Yes, exactly.
Are these people that we keep voting for the popularity contest really helping us or helping themselves?
Well, all right, I know I'm not supposed to talk about how the doggone governments are idiots, but average Joe out there, you got to understand that you are the government, and you need to do what you got to do in order to make this world a better place. The whole save the planet issue shouldn't even be an issue. The whole energy crisis is a made-up crisis. We don't have an energy crisis. We got a common sense crisis. The solutions are out there in your face. First off, let's start off with hunger in the world. You can solve that because there's plenty of land to grow food. There's plenty of ways to get the food to people. You know, if you're going to use the military for anything, use it to literally walk in the food and hand it to them directly so that no criminals are trying to steal it before you get there. And
one question. Would Bongwater stand for president? Because I understand you know the guy intimately.
Yeah, he sure would, man. It'll tell you exactly how it is, too. Elect me and I'll screw you on taxes. At least I'm going to be honest with you. If I'm going to vote for a criminal, I want one that's going to flat out tell me, look, I'm going to take away your rights. I'm going to charge you out the eyeball on taxes. I'm going to use the government credit card to buy my caviar and my lobster and stuff. And the door ding in my car is going to be fixed off of your dime. You know? At least he's honest about it.
I'm not sure if you've seen the YouTube footage of Congressman Bongwater, Matthew, but you might want to go and have a look.
Yeah, Matthew, go watch Congressman Bongwater. You'll like him.
I'll have to check him out. I want to look at it after I'm done with the conversation today.
Bongwater for president.
There's no right or wrong way, lads. There's just whatever you can do.
Well, we got things we can do right now. All right, look, we already know that back in the 1800s, they were literally sending, let me pop up this doggone link again here.
They're sending signals all the way up. Tesla made his first tower. He heard signals from Mars.
Yep, here we go. Let's see. Do-do-do-do. Copy that. I'm going to paste it over here.
Do you know what? Voyager and Voyager 2 is probably so far out of the solar system now that it might even be possible for them to transmit the original terrestrial broadcast of I Love Lucy back to us.
Cool. All right, look. In February 19 of 1880, Alexander Graham Bell and his assistant Charles Sumner Tainer basically built a device where they could literally transmit sound across light waves, and it is a super simple concept that could be replicated even in your own backyard with junk. I mean, a big screen TV, inside the back of that big screen TV is literally a flexible reflector that you can build into a dome shape for if you want to make it like a Fresnel lens to focus the light energy. You see,
a photon accelerator.
You could take that material, cut it just down to fit on a diaphragm of even just a regular speaker with a little coil of wire inside there. It's that way, whenever the sun's shining on that diaphragm, whatever energy you pulse inside that speaker will ride that light wave from that mirror all the way over to a receiver on the other side that has a solar panel on the other side, and then that energy goes down into an amplifier that then in turn pulses another speaker, and you'll hear what you're saying is on the other side. Now, okay, wow, you know, what big deal is that? That's a huge deal, because you know that you can take multiple different frequency ranges and you can ride them piggyback on top of each other and get multiple things done in the same shot. So, if you want to use a Tesla coil to transmit wireless energy and you want to at the same time send some information across there, you can do it. You can ride that wireless energy with information. They call it packet radio in the radio community.
They should be doing that right now with all of our wireless devices. Every time you walk in your house and your computer or your phone gets onto your wireless network, it should already be charging.
Yep. The government does it.
As soon as it logs on, it should be charging wirelessly. There should be no wires involved.
The military does it. They used to spy on people, man. There's another, I posted another link inside there in the deal, laser microphone, where they literally use doggone laser to spy on people, because the laser bouncing back off the other thing, picking up the vibrations, will literally transmit back to them a signal, you know?
Sure is. If people think that you cannot wirelessly transmit signals through light, ask Batman.
Yeah, Batman did it.
I know it's a kind of a silly euphemism, but it does have a point.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where he is in the city. If they need him, they can find him.
A laser microphone is a surveillance device that uses laser beams to detect sound vibrations in a distant object. So literally, you could aim a laser at somebody's window in their house, and whatever vibrations are coming on the other side, you can pick that energy up and transmit it back in a sound wave. So you're actually sending the signal out to receive a signal back.
Do you know, if the American government hadn't funded the Italian mafia during World War II, they probably would never have developed that technology.
Well, there you go.
You know, if we had a microphone that was strong enough, microphone, you could probably bring it back billions of years to hear whatever actually was going on back then.
It's
those airwaves still going around right now.
It's funny because while we're talking about this stuff right here, people thinking about, wow, they can spy on me with a laser? Yeah, well, see, here's the thing. For every thing, like even such as transmitting energy across light waves, you're going to have drawbacks to every system, but you don't put all your eggs in one basket. There's a little deal on this thing that says, countermeasures exist to in form of specialized light sensors that can detect the light from the beam, or you could just use rippled glass that would disrupt the signal, and so they couldn't hear what you were saying anyway.
There's no need basics anymore. They're not Facebook.
Well, yeah, everybody just might as well just tell them what they're doing, man. Hey, come on over to my house and sit down, NSA and all you government guys, and just listen in, man. I mean,
now, there's no need to listen in. They just go and check out your page.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, they got all your information. They got you tracked from the moment you leave your house, the moment you wake up, the moment you go to bed.
Can people not grow up and start using the internet as an adult and understand there are no free lunches? Facebook is not free. And it's not generally Facebook, but it's all the social media that was invented to collect people's information. And I'll give you an example of what was going on in East Berlin prior to the fall of the Berlin Wall. The Stasi secret police used to steal people's underwear from washing lines and then put them in hermetically sealed jars. And if they wanted to find somebody, they'd just give the knickers or underwear to a sniffer dog and he would hunt them down. Now, they don't even have to... No, that's a true story.
I believe you.
They don't have to bother with that anymore. They've got your financial, your medical, and your social history. All of your eggs are in one basket, and it's called Facebook. Are you people demented?
Well, this
is not there for your benefit.
See, we're in a humanity's in a race against time when it comes to those who wish to remain in charge. Like, such as the internet right now. The internet's an amazing tool, and we can have the opportunity to talk to each other. But with things like net neutrality and being able to control, you know, the FCC controlling what you say on the internet or whatever, these are all mechanisms by which to keep us from saying what we're saying together. You know, to keep us from putting these solutions out there. You guys, our backs are against the wall when it comes to fighting with the system out there, because you got to get the average Joe past the mentality of everything's fine as long as I can go over to the light switch and turn it on and I get lights. Why bother? You know?
Now, don't get me wrong, bother? Because that's what's keeping you from enjoying yourself, because now you have to wake up every day and slave your butt to work all day, and come home and not want to have to do anything because you're so tired from working all day to pay that electric bill.
Yeah.
You know, you guys get this stuff.
A large percentage of your labor goes to just keeping the lights on.
Yeah, that and gas.
Yep. So you're working your butt off to just to have the energy that you should be having for free. Could you imagine what everybody just here on this panel right alone would be doing if they didn't have to pay a light bill or a fuel bill for their car?
Well, just imagine, like typically, I mean, the average household person, let's say $200 a month for electric, just say $200. All right. Now, I'm not saying take a big, you know, a lot of money, but if everybody would take, like, let's just say their income tax every year, not everybody gets a whole bunch, but let's just say the people that do get a fairly good amount, pump that set into a solar system, start setting up your solar panels. You could put $200 onto a solar panel every month. I mean, you're looking at $2,400 in a year.
Yep.
You're looking at $24,000 in 10 years. You're just putting into electricity. That's only an average of $200 a month. My bills have been higher than that. $24,000 in 10 years. Could you imagine a solar system you could have with that $24,000?
Yep. For every single light bulb that you take off the power grid, then you are saving money. And if you've got methods by which you can use Slayer siders or Tesla coils to run your lighting while you use something else, wind power, to run your pumps or whatever,
And you slowly start seeing a decrease in your power bill.
Yeah.
And instead of taking that extra money and putting it into stuff that you shouldn't be putting it into, put it back into your energy needs. So now your electric bill went down $20 this month because now you have alternative lighting. So now you can go ahead and take that $20, put it into a savings fund, and then we can go ahead and 4 months from now we can go buy ourselves a new solar panel. Now we got a solar panel, and now we're getting to the point where we can start running the TV. We're taking more power off of the grid. You guys getting the idea here?
Here's another key point to pay attention. A lot of folks out there are like, well, I can't afford to do that. You know, I can't afford a generator head. Sure you can. I just saw your neighbor throw one over in the trash. He got this old treadmill he's too fat to use anymore. Has a permanent magnet motor in there that you can hook a fan blade that I saw your other neighbor over there throw a big old squirrel fan in the trash. Take that fan blade, I'll put it on that deal and stick it up on top of your house, and now you got enough energy to charge some batteries that you can in turn run your TV with.
Yeah, exactly.
Excuse this. Yeah. How much is the a 60-inch 4K TV nowadays?
I was just looking at the Samsungs. You can get a 4K Samsung. They come in all different series. I'm big on Samsung. How they mention it, but you can get one from East Coast TVs. I'm not trying to promote anybody, but around $1,200.
And how much does it cost for a petrol generator that you can put a hydrogen system in to increase the fuel economy?
Well, I'll tell you one thing, brother. I went to an auction. about a week ago. I went to the auction and I bought a 3,000 to 3,500 watt generator for $15. Bought that thing home, put some fuel in it, it fired right up. A little bit of modifications, I can have it running on water or wood gas.
I like your way of thinking of philosophy. You're funny. I love how you throw little things out there like that. Oh, you know about 4K TVs. Oh, yeah, of course I know about a 4K TV. Oh, yeah, well, how much does those normally run? Oh, I don't know, $1,200? Oh, yeah? Well, here. What about a high? And then he just throws in an actual thing. And it's just like, don't you feel like an idiot now? like, yeah.
No. It's not meant to insult anybody, but the point is...
I took it as, literally, because it hit me, dude.
I went out and bought one of the first generation 720p projectors. You know, it was my redundancy money from being a previously fully fledged corporate whore. I had the big car, I had the nice house, I had the IT career, I was earning plenty of money, I could buy anything I wanted to. And it got to the point where I had no room left to buy any more junk. So I started looking at what I actually needed. And what I need is to be able to produce energy. I need to be able to produce nutrition. And I certainly don't need to be programmed by social engineering. Now, it's kind of nice to watch stuff, because it's a distraction from the belligerence and the hostility of the world we live in. But it can't be your main focus.
Well, and that's why I say that the solutions are right there in front of your face. There's people sitting here right now giving you tons of solutions. There are other people out there all over YouTube. If you want to know how to do something, get on YouTube. Somebody's put a video out. All right, so there is stuff that you can download. You can make hard copies, print it out, or whatever. Any worst case scenario comes around, you already know what to do. And if you can't remember what to do, just pop the doggone thing back into your laptop and fire it up and do it. You know, wind turbines.
Matthew, who was the previous owner of the Millennium Falcon prior to Han Solo?
I have enough proof.
Lando Calrissian.
Well, what's now, that got to do with prices of tea in China?
Here is an example of free energy. If you educate yourself... Now, I actually saw the original Star Wars in 1977 on my 5th birthday. So it shows you how old I am. I actually saw it in cinema and its theatrical release. But I watched two guys sit there for an hour trying to think up a piece of inane trivia. And they turned around to me and said, "You're a nerd, Steve. Who was the owner of the Millennium Falcon before, you know, Han Solo?" And I said, "Lando Calrissian." And I got free beer for the rest of the night, because they were pulling their hair out trying to work it out. But the point being is all of that knowledge you had irrelevant, because it made their world a better place that they could move on? And this is what we're about. People have the opportunity to move on if they're prepared to ask somebody questions.
There you go.
Simple as that. If you don't know, ask somebody. If they don't know, ask someone else. Keep asking questions.
That thing is like, I mean, I feel bad, like even for us, we're older men. Okay, now, there's a movie that I just watched the other night. I actually took time for myself and watched the movie. Got a great actor, and I can't actually remember the name, so I'll make a fool of him and so forth. But the point of my story is that even kids in social media right now, like, if you got kids that are in school, they can't even get away from bullying like we used to, because, like, when we were younger, our bullying would be limited to school. So you'd go to school, you'd get bullied. Nowadays, it's cyber. Like, they're getting bullied even when they get home all day. So, you know, it's hard for the children now just because of the social media networks. And so then it's extending from the schools outward into society as well. So I kind of feel for the younger generation simply because I can understand that there's children out there that are being bullied all day. And it's really sad because, I mean, as a parent and an individual, I have, you know, two little girls. And I'd feel horrible if that was something that happened with my little girls. And it comes down to the parenting, I believe. It all has to come down with the environments that children have been raised up into. And you can't do anything but break that chain yourself. Just because supposedly you were brought up a certain way doesn't mean you have to bring your children up that way. Well, and we all need to start realizing that.
It's as simple as this. You teach people how to treat you. We've taught our governments to abuse us and allowed them to do so. We've taught our teachers that it's okay to teach our kids liberal trash. We've allowed a whole lot of things go on in this world. All the problems that's in this world it could be traced back down to the simple of what you're going to allow other people to do to you. If you want this world to be a better place, it starts with you. It starts with you knowing your neighbor. Instead of calling the police on your neighbor because the grass is too tall, go over and see if they got a health issue and if there's something that you can do to help them out. You know?
Yep.
And as far as the alternative energy deal, it's out there. Alternative medicine's out there. Alternatives to the law, even knowing the law, is out there. It's all out there.
It's just like Theon Arc said on one of his videos. I mean, he found over unity. I mean, if nobody believes it, you got over unity in yourself. You can always get more than you put in.
Well, see,
hey, guys, I sat down with an Asian guy a couple of weeks ago that was literally in tears through internet bullying.
I believe it. Don't get me wrong. I believe over unity and 0 points fully possible. Okay, but this,
well, look at yourself.
For argument's sake, I don't even go into a 0 point or over unity. I just talk about free energy, which I get ridiculed for anyway, because everybody's like, "Oh, ain't no such thing as free energy. You can't get out more than you're trying to put in." The fact of the matter is,
the energy is free. We're surrounded by it. Harnessing it requires resources.
Yeah.
That's where you have to build. That's the key. But the fact of the matter is, look, if I want, you ever hear the deal?
People get caught up on the free energy thing where they do not have the resources.
Did you ever hear the story? Is
to walk down the road and find the people, things that people throw out,
Steve,
you can use them.
Steve,
yeah.
Did you ever hear the story about stone soup?
Is it like dwarf bread?
All right, listen, guys. This is how you fix the world. All right, and this is how you afford free energy right out of the gate. There was a man that decided he was hungry. He going to make some stone soup, right? So he gets this pan, he puts it on the stove, he's got water in it, and he throws a big rock in the center of it. And so he's standing there, he's stirring it, and he's waiting, and then finally one of his neighbors shows up, all right? And they said, "Well, what you doing there, friend?" And he said, "Well, I'm making some soup. You want some?" The neighbor says, "Okay, well, yeah." So he tried a little bit of it, and he said, "Well, you know, he didn't want to be rude or nothing, but he said it's missing something." And so he said, "Here, put a little bit of this salt down in there." So he threw some salt down in there, right? And so now there's two people standing around. They're making stone soup. And so, you know, they're standing there, and next thing you know, another neighbor comes by, and they're like, "You know, what you all doing?" "Well, we're making stone soup. You want some?" And they said, "Sure." So they tried it out, and then, like, once again, neighbor didn't want to be rude. Said, "Well, you know, there's something missing in there. It had some vegetables, threw it up in there." So now they got three people standing around there. And this process went on and on and on until all the neighbors were standing around this pot, and they were mixing everything in there. And then finally the guy says, "Okay, well, dinner's ready." And so he reaches down inside the pan, and he picks up the rock with the spoon and throws it on out the deal over there. And everybody's like, "Well, what'd you do that for?" He said, "Well, we got our stone soup, so let's all eat, you know?" You see what I'm saying? It was as simple as that. Your resources, my resources, your brain, my brain, all together, and all the knowledge that we've acquired, like you always say, Steve, the vast sum of all humanity's knowledge is on the internet. We got access to it. Let's make some stone soup.
That's paraphrasing me. My actual words were, the sum of humanity's knowledge are at your fingertips.
Yep.
There was an old advertising campaign in the UK called Let Your Fingers Do the Walking, and it was running through the Yellow Pages. Well, we've kind of updated that now to the internet, but the same advertising bling holds true. Let your fingers do the walking.
Yep.
Go to Gumtree, go to all of these sites. People are giving stuff away free. There was a hospital in the United Kingdom that was giving away former hospital components. Some of these have got some incredibly rare earth elements in them. The only problem is I was living in the Republic of Ireland at the time, and it was an 800-mile drive across the sea to pick them up, and I couldn't get there before somebody else did. because if I'd managed to snag those, that would have been massive resources for research. Because some of the stuff that they use in various hospital equipment, you can't buy off the shelf.
Yep. Well.
Yeah. That was a thought. Consumers.
So what do you guys think? Do you think this planet could literally get together and make some stone soup and solve all the problems of the world?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
And for those of folks out there that think they can't afford it, we seriously can't afford not to do it.
Most of the stuff that we need to do what we need to do has already been made, and people are throwing it away.
Yeah, there you go. That's why I did that video called Repurpose. I don't know if you had an opportunity to see that.
Yeah.
But
I was thinking about recycling. That's cool. Let's call it repurposing.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny that you're talking about that, because I just picked up two more TVs on the side of the road. The reason I picked up the TVs is because I order my magnet wire normally. You're looking at 10, up to, $100 a roll, depending on how many pounds you get. So I picked up these two TVs, took the transformers off the back of the tubes, and I just spooled me three spools of wires off the coils that were on the back of the tube. I mean, and I'm going to use those to make me some Bedini circuits, some other stuff, and, wrap some more coils with it. And that's just recycling it.
Yeah,
it's not kink. It's still good. It's just, you got to take them off of the ferrite magnet off the back.
Microwave ovens have huge transformers with a whole lot of...
aren't they enameled? Don't they have the enamel on them?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like... But the ones that I found on the back of the TVs...
You're talking about like to seal it up. It doesn't matter. Even that, you can still recycle it. I've done it on even the worst transformers where they got them so thick with enamel that it's like falling off in the dust. But either way, the wire is still good and it's really well insulated.
I figured if it got a kink in it or a crack or anything like that, splintered, then I'd have to get the nail polish out. Patch the wire up so it doesn't have where the enamel comes from.
I ain't never had no problem with it. If the person's worried about it, you take and put it all on one spool over there, go to the hardware store and get you some like lacquer, some epoxy like you do for the decks or whatever,
Like how I made my jewel ring.
And run that spool through a pool, and on the opposite side, have you one of the slowly geared motors just kind of slowly winding it back around until, you've got a perfectly insulated wire again. You could take an old electric motor that is bad because the wiring burn up. The only thing that goes wrong with that wiring is the insulation breaks down to where now you have a dead short. So you can take any old electric motor, as long as that wire ain't burned in half, and you can recoat that wire, put it right back on the same core, and you got a perfectly good electric motor again.
Let me offer a solution. Because it seems that many minds make difficult tasks easy, like stone soup. So, in every community, in every area, if it's a town, a city, or a village, it doesn't matter. Every community should have a man lab.
Yep.
Where they brew beer, where they sit around and talk about football, but they have many people with many ideas that can sit down and between the lot of them, respect each other, and try and work out how you can do something constructive.
There you go. And pull your resources and your tools together. If there's an empty building somewhere in your community that you guys can basically rent or get donated to you for cheap to help upkeep the town, you guys could come together and solve all the problems of your town individually and work your way out with that knowledge. Share your information with neighboring towns and they'll do the same thing. Before too long, it spreads just like the word here out here on the internet. So,
do you know that nursery rhymes are there to put information to people that might not necessarily understand it? Think about it. Rub-a-dub-dub, three men in the tub, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. You've got light, you've got food, you've got nutrition. What else do we need?
There you go. And as far as getting electricity in the worst possible times, man, look, the infrastructure's already there. It's already failing. You know it's going to go down at some point, whether it be natural or man-made. And so if you're sitting around waiting for all your tax money, like I said before, my tax dollar put that pothole in for you to break your rim on at $100 to $200 nice chrome rim you got on your car got smashed in half because my tax dollar put that hole there for you. Alright, so that's the kind of track record the government's got for you. You know, they seem to make a mess out of everything. They throw money on the problem, and the problem gets kind of tapered over with a Band-Aid, and then it's still, the initial problem's still there. As far as...
Let's just focus on solutions for a minute. How about we start trying to put together the Mad Science Man Lab?
I'm hip. I got to start.
Well, yeah, there you go. You got to start on it.
I got it.
What I'm suggesting that this be is in every community, everywhere, men that want to get away from their wife and kids and just have some sort of level of sanity, once a week, or even once a month if it comes to that, you have someone that can cook, you have somebody that knows about electricity, you have somebody that is good with manufacturing, maybe a carpenter or something like that, somebody that understands chemistry. Get together and sit down and just run through YouTube, look at the ideas there that are there, and just see if you can do it.
Yeah,
because with electricity, just like you're saying, it comes in chemistry. I was just telling my grandmother that the other day. I was like there's so much to electricity. I was like, because you got to know chemistry as well, because you got to know every chemical's makeup and how it reacts with one another. And then if you don't know, then you got to learn how and teach yourself how to experiment with that.
Well, yeah, but most of the answers to these problems are already there. But when you've got a group of people that are interested and motivated, it doesn't take one mind to do it. It takes several. And when several minds work together, you have the harnessed processing power of something that no computer has managed to replicate at this stage. And nobody is stupid.
Well, I mean, I don't know how many different types of religions, but when there's more than one in the name of Christ, he's there, and it's just like, that's another acronym, too.
Listen, guys.
Understanding that come together as a whole, they'll have more information.
We have a link on ShazizRadio.com called Virtual Labs. And Virtual Labs was essentially for those folks that can't afford to travel from one point to the next. We would put this virtual labs together where everybody could get there real time and via Skype or whatever platform we can manage to get together, could literally see into each other's labs real time and do work together and solve issues. The problem that we've had with virtual labs is that we can't get the coding needed to literally put the platform together. The coding's out there. The resources are out there. But it takes somebody with a little bit more computer knowledge than what I've got myself in order to put this code together, to put it on a website to where you can tap your web camera in from your lab and I can tap mine in and people can be in the chat room and see it real time. And so Virtual Labs has pretty much been on hold for quite some time until we could actually figure out a way to pull all these cameras together and focus them into where you can, if you're interested in Tesla technology, you click on that link and you're into Tesla Labs. If you're interested in Bedini technology, you click on that, you're into Bedini Labs, or plasma, or any of the alternative sciences.
All of them. For Castle, his THP device.
Yep. So what we need?
This. I'm thinking of a different angle. I mean, we've been working on this virtual labs for a long time now.
I know, but we need both. We need a physical
one, like
you're talking about.
What I'm saying is, why don't we, who have got some clue, sit down and put together reproducible experiments that people can then recreate safely.
Yeah.
We put it out as the Man Lab. instead of somebody tuning into a webcam and sitting there scratching the head saying what the hell is going along, why don't we put down constructive solutions that people can create in their own garden shed with a couple of their mates, and let them tell us what we're doing wrong?
Why don't we do both? Why don't we have in virtual labs a solutions room as well, to where we put up videos just like the repurposing video that I did, so that people can go there and get ideas, run with those ideas in their own lab, and if they want to join in with the other people that are, you know, deep into the other bigger labs, they can do it as well. All this is about focusing and combining all the combined knowledge of all the different brilliant individuals into one place, to where you got the answers, you know?
Virtual labs is preaching to the choir.
Yeah, but see, look,
it's giving people skills they don't have.
I agree with you. I'm saying let's do both, because if I'm working on a project and you can literally sit there and watch real time as I'm working on this project, you may have the answer to what I need to do it. And it doesn't matter where all these answers come from, as long as we get them done. You know?
Jesus, I don't have a clue what you're talking about half the time.
I know that you can cook. So, in the man lab, you could make us some really cool food while you keep us motivated to continue to research. So, everyone has something to offer to this deal.
People need light. They need a butcher, a baker, and a candlestick maker. And they need it now.
Yep.
Virtual labs is kind of down the road a bit further, but before we can get there, we need to get people stable.
Yep.
To me, that's kind of more pertinent and more important than a bunch of people that already know what they're talking about.
Let's work on it together.
And a funny thing I've noticed too, like this with me, I've just gotten into the whole energy thing, I'd say about 4 to 5 months ago, and I have progressed significantly. But what's funny is when I come up across the everyday average person and I start talking about stuff, or I show them like a Slayer circuit and I'm lighting a bulb without plugging it in, people are like weirded out by it sometimes. Like, how are you doing it? I don't understand it. And it was very difficult to learn at first. Like, it took me a little bit of time, but it was repetitiveness. I was determined. I was like, you know what? I am going to light up a bulb without having to plug it in. I'm going to do this. It can't be fake, you know, because a lot of people are like, well, what I see on YouTube, oh, that's all fake. That's all fake. I mean, if you're logical in the head and you got some common sense, you could realize what's fake and what's not. And with all this alternative stuff, there's a lot of it is really real. And all it is instead of criticizing it, why don't you take 2 hours out of your day?
Well, I got news. I got news for a lot of those individuals that think everything in this world is fake. You might just be surprised what's real and what isn't real out there. There's a whole lot more to this world than meets the eye. And if you're willing to close your mind to even contemplate on the possibilities, such as things like teleportation and stuff like that, if you're willing to close your mind on it because, oh, that's sci-fi, that's just fake or whatever, then you shut your mind off to that critical thinking that could literally say, wait a second, is this possible?
I think that's why Hollywood feeds it out to people, too. I mean, and they're doing it bad now. I mean, you got History Channel trying to push on the aliens. You've got, it's just everywhere.
Yeah.
It's everywhere right now. They're pushing it hard. And it's just like, you know, it's come to that point. I mean, the light will be seen in the east and the west, and I think the veil is being lifted.
Well, if the people thought that it was impossible to transmit energy via wireless deal, then guys like Alexander Graham Bell and Charles Sumner and Marconi and Tesla and all them guys would have just listened to what the teacher said and just went along with the flow, and the world's still kind of flat or concave or maybe even convex. We're living in a bubble or whatever, you know. I don't care where we're living. I don't care whether the world's flat. I don't care whether the world's concave or convex or whether we're geocentric or exocentric. I don't care any about all that stuff. What I care about is what we can actually see. Our world's going down the toilet because people can't figure out that you can literally tap into nature and get all the energy you want. We got more than enough resources to take care of everybody and feed everybody. It's just a matter of, are you going to do it or not? Are you going to wait around for the government to fill that chuck hole in?
Well, here's the thing. Here's another thing. Like, for instance, you just mentioned battery. So then here's what I did. All right? Now, I've heard a lot about graphite. You can get graphite. They're drawing pencils. It's what people normally use for drawing pencils, right? So I went to Walmart, got me some graphite pencils. And then I was like, you know what? I've seen all this stuff on the internet. I'm going to try and make me a battery. So I got me a graphite pencil. I went and got me some aluminum foil. And then I went ahead and I put a paper towel. And I used distilled water with Epsom salt and alum. Mixed that in, let it set. And I wet the paper towels with it. So I went paper towel, piece of aluminum. And on the paper towels, I scraped the graphite onto the paper towel. And then I put the aluminum on top. And then I put another paper towel, scraped the graphite on the paper towel, put a piece of aluminum. I got 0.7 volts without even charging it. And it's been at 0.7 volts for 3 days now.
Yeah, they've got one that's been going since the 1800s, man.
3 days. It hasn't dropped voltage, and I never initiated the charge.
They call it the Zamboni battery.
Guys, most people, and I'm not trying to be offensive, and I'm not trying to belittle anybody, but including myself, most people don't know how to start.
Yeah.
When you walk into your garage, or you walk into your shed, or your garden, whatever you've got, do you walk in and turn on a light switch? Or do you wirelessly transfer the sun's energy through a 2-litre Coke bottle full of bleach and water that acts like a 60-watt light bulb? And you don't need to turn on the light. Because most sheds are kind of sealed, aren't they? There's no light coming in. And if you're experimenting, you want to keep the door closed, keep your kids out, you know, keep yourself safe. So if you cut a hole in the roof of your garden shed and stick in a 2-litre Coke bowl full of bleach and water, light will transfer down through that in the daytime, because a lot of people run the projects at weekends. Admittedly, in the Northern Hemisphere, it's not much good in winter, because you only get 6 hours of daylight. But how about we start putting together a series of instructional videos where you can build a man lab from scratch that uses as little energy as possible?
I'm hip. And using the concepts of fiber optic, knowing that you can take, if you think about how fiber optics work, fiber optics are going like under the dirt, around the creek, over the tree, down the hill, up the hill, around the corner, zigzagging back and forth across this and that, and finally getting to the other side and sending real-time data at the speed of light from point A to point B. You can take and build the same kind of system that Steve just talked about, where you have only one light bulb running in your entire house, and it could be something as simple as a 12-volt light bulb, low wattage or whatever, and you could pipe that light through the entirety of your house using the refraction from a water or whatever you want to use, mineral oil or even alcohol for that matter, all the way through to every single room of your house and only expend what it takes to run one single light bulb that you could...
I was thinking the same thing.
Run off of one solar panel and one battery.
Yep.
And you can do it all with PVC plumbing.
And the slums of the Philippines, most people live in tin shacks, and they have punitive costs for an electricity bill. Somebody came up with a great idea of light 1 liter at a time.
Yep.
Now that's kind of it's not really close to the equator, but it's not far from it either, so you get a lot of daylight all day long. So somebody came up with the idea of, you cut a hole in the tin shack roof and you drop down a bottle full of bleach and water, and they found that it acted the equivalent of a 60 watt light bulb.
There you go.
That is a really simple solution for anybody that wants daytime light in an enclosed area where there are no windows, and you want to be able to see what you're doing. Obviously, it's not going to be great for microelectronics, but it's part and parcel of building yourself an infrastructure.
But here's the key. Listen to this one, Steve, and you'll like this one. Not only can you pipe that sunlight into any room, no matter which direction that sunlight's coming, it doesn't matter. That energy transfer from the refractory from that bulb right there, you can, right where you that where that bottle's hanging in through the roof, you can put a little mini solar panel right next to that light bulb and get the sunlight to shine in there and run a doggone fan real time with the light that you're piping in.
Yeah.
So,
well, not only that, have you ever seen the Arga fans? Like a wood-burning stove oven.
Yeah.
Where they've got a passive fan that will sit on the top of it, and through heat conversion, it'll turn a propeller.
Yeah.
I was also thinking, like, for all your spigots on all your water stops, like, you can make generators out of a simple water pump that you use in your little fountains.
Yep.
And why not correlate a pump onto all your sinks when you take a shower? You know, when you turn on your water, it turns that pump. The pump's charging your battery system. You know, and that can be utilized.
For everybody out there that's saying, well, you know, I can't get enough to run my house on that. Look, it's like a piggy bank, folks. Energy can be stored. All right, you store it a trickle at a time, and you got a huge battery bank, and you're using it to for whatever purpose. While you're opening and closing the door, you got a little lever down there flicking the switch past a coil of wire, and now you got trickle charge there. Everything that you do in your house normally, such as even just walking across the floor, some piezoelectric crystals built into the floor that creaks all the time, use that doggone thing to put some more juice into it. Use the kid's flag in the door, the kid in there jumping up and down on the bed to produce energy. You know?
It sure is. There was a school in the United Kingdom that built a piezoelectric carpet that when you walk across it, it lights the corridor.
There you go. And not only that, whenever you're walking down through there, you can get the thing to turn off the lights behind you.
They don't need electricity 8 hours a day. They only need it when people are going from one classroom to the next.
Yeah.
And when you have 30 people walking across the carpet, the piezoelectric effect was enough to light the corridor.
There you go.
And then, you know, people throw away motion detectors all the time. I mean, you get a motion detector everywhere. You can even buy the little switches in here for your house. I think they're like, I know I'm pocketing the money again, but I mean, just getting motion sensors in some of your places, because I know my children have a tendency to leave lights on. So there's certain areas in the house that I actually put motion sensors in, so that way whenever they leave the room, 30 seconds later, I know the light will shut off. And,
it's brilliant.
You know,
yeah,
so
that's great for a house invasion.
You know what?
It's great for a house invasion.
Yeah, well, children have a tendency, they don't know any better.
Or you could use that same concept to know when somebody's trying to climb through the window or come through the front door. So either
exactly.
way, there's a backup plan for every backup plan. But the fact is, a lot of the stuff we're talking about, you can get out of doggone trash because people keep throwing it away.
And with the reed switches, right? A reed switch, those are for all your, like, your windows and doors. Those are reed switches in there, them little sensors, aren't they?
They're little magnetic switches. There's a magnet on one side.
Yeah, like a reed switch, right?
Yeah, it's just like a reed switch. When the magnet sucks the metals apart away, it'll either open or close the circuit depending on which way it's designed. So, you know, either way, it's a real simple concept. A magnet causes the wires to suck together, which closes the circuit and turns on the siren.
I've been looking at a few videos. There's a few circuits out there with that reed switch. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
There's also
in automobiles, there's these little buttons that whenever they push, they're in your refrigerator as well. They're in the door of the refrigerator that whenever you push, it'll break the circuit. Whenever you open the door, it'll make the circuit and a light bulb will come on in your refrigerator. So that same concept could be used on your windows. You know, you could actually press it up against the glass. If they shattered the glass, that little button would pop on and suddenly an alarm goes off.
You've also got solar switches as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a friend in Germany. Every time the sun comes up, the curtain's open.
There you go. It's that simple.
It's a solar, I can't remember the exact name for it, but there's a certain type of switch that's a photosensitive switch. When it's dark, the curtains come down, or the blinds come down. When it's light, they go back up again.
What do you say we take a quick music break and refresh our coffee and come back and polish this off the last half hour?
Sounds great. Sounds good to me, man.
All right, cool. Everybody stay tuned. You're listening to the Extended Mad Science. We had some technical difficulties earlier, so here we go. We'll be back right shortly. Peace and love, everybody. Stay tuned.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before. space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
And we're back. Ladies and gentlemen, Mad Science continues. Even off air, we're talking about hydroponics and aquaponics and all kinds of different solutions. And what is the solution? And who's the solution? I'm saying to the world, you are the solution. All you individuals out there like my buddy Steve, who has done years worth of research on aquaponics and hydroponics and alternative growing. He is a resource that if you could get him to talk to you for a bit and explain to you a few things, you can learn some stuff. My buddy Matthew over here, I really love his videos because he goes out there, he finds things that weren't necessarily designed to do what it is that he's doing, just to show people that you can do it. You can do it with repurposed or recycled, however you want to call it. But the ingenuity there, and he don't give himself a whole lot of credit when it comes down to that, because, you know, he's got people that come on there and crack on him about stupid things like, well, you don't know what you're talking about, you don't explain it very good or whatever, you know. But he's sitting there telling everybody right out of the gate, you know, hey, look, I'm not a genius at all this, but what he has shown me is the fact that he can literally think outside the box, taking things that weren't normally meant to do what it is that you need to do and getting it done. I mean, repurposing an old water pump out of a washing machine into an electric generator and then showing all the different things that you can run with it and do with it, that to me is the outside the box thinking that everybody needs to get accustomed to. So if you have an opportunity to go over and check out Matthew's YouTube channel, I feel you'll benefit from it because he's got a lot of brilliance going on there. There are individuals out there such as Ryan Abrams from Abrams Lab, Terry Woodruff, and Deeds over there, and even Remstar.org and Laser Saber and all these different brilliant individuals out there on YouTube that have taken and did a lot of research in alternative energy methods, the Wimshurst generator, the Van de Graaff generator, the Lord Kelvin generator, the Hawksby device, the Bedini motors, the Tesla coils, and it just goes on and on and on. The only excuse you have for not having the information that you need is that you're not using your fingers to, like Steve said, to reach the vast sum of all man's knowledge that is at your fingertips.
Which it is.
Yeah.
You missed something out on my skill set. Not only can I show you how to make your own beer, I can also teach you how to use a Peltier element and discarded foam packaging from your latest widescreen TV to build a beer cooler to freeze it off of a USB socket.
There you go. See? And knowing a little bit of stuff like that and little Peltier elements and how they function, man, there's little mini refrigerators that work off your USB cycle. And you can either heat your coffee with the same element or you can freeze your coffee with the same element.
I just pulled one of those out of my cooler. I have the Igloo cooler on the side of my house, and I just pulled that thing off. I was like, what the heck is inside of this thing? I'm like, what is it that's making it cold on the inside, and it's so hot coming out from the fan? So I tore it apart just out of curiosity, and it's two big heat sinks of aluminum, It's, I still don't know what kind of chip it is that's in the middle of
that's
that.
That's a Peltier thing. Element.
But that thing, it's like, it looks like a meat grater, like that you, not a meat grater, but a meat pounder that you pound your meat down with. That's what the chip
is. Yeah, but the actual element itself is just a little flat square, and it works off of temperature differences. As long as you
well,
got...
That's what I'm saying. That little square that was in there, well, when I ripped it apart, it's got a membrane in it. It's kind of like a PCU chip, like the CPU chip on your computer. It looks just like that. Only the metal that's in it, it's got to be either lead or I don't know what it is. But anyways, try to continue to educate me. Let me know what it is, because you obviously don't want it to be. And I want to be educated.
Either way, it's a heat exchanger. It's exotic technology that you have access to. And with that, as long as you got a Peltier element in your pocket, you could take that on your survival trip and charge your phone up with it just by doing something as simple as... putting one side on a cool rock and the other side out in the sunlight. Bam, you got a solar panel right there charging up your doggone cell phone. It's that simple. The Peltier element's been used for everything from using the wood-burning stove to have the temperature difference that literally, only thing the heat sink is for is to cool one side down, because you got to have that temperature difference in order for the heat exchanger portion to work on there. But you can get heat differences, put one on the outside of your, facing the outside of your window, and the other, it's obviously a different temperature in your house than it is outside your house, and the more difference it is on either side, the more energy that thing will produce. And you can find them in igloo coolers, just like he said. There's other devices out there like that.
Well, why don't we make our houses like that?
Yeah.
We don't even have to use an AC unit. Just build our walls out of that technology.
Let's start from scratch. If you want to build a man lab, what is the primary element that you need in your man lab?
You need lighting, man.
No, you need a floor.
Okay, well, I can start with the floor. Well, here's the thing.
A
we know
floor.
We know that you heat rises. All right, so when we build our floor, we're going to put a bunch of copper tubing or even plastic tubing down inside that floor. We're going to wind it back and forth all the way across that floor, and then we're going to lay down our concrete. Okay, now we got a floor. Now we're going to need have some warm water, and so what we're going to do is we're going to put some same type of tubing up on the roof, and we're going to have that circulating down and through a pump, then going all the way through the floor and back around to the other side again into the hot water tank. So,
calm yourself down to a frenzy, should it?
Yeah. So now we got heat coming from the roof, going to the floor, the heat's rising, and it's keeping us warm inside, and we can have valves to shut it off to where during the summertime we're not frying. But we still got that heat to get rid of up there on the roof that's coming from the hot water being. So we pipe that hot water down into a different tank that's going to basically allow that hot water to get so incredibly hot that it literally turns into steam. We're going to use that steam, and we're going to turn some turbines that will generate power that we can run either air conditioners, or we can turn that steam into a heat exchanger using some evaporative cooling. When that hot water or whatever is trickling down on the other side after it comes out of a condenser, we're going to use that to blow some fan across there to literally cool down the house real time. So we built our floor for reasons that we know the heat rises. We built our ceiling with our air ducts so that cold air can fall.
If you can create high temperature water, you can heat Stirling engine.
Yeah.
To create compression to run power tools.
Yeah. And you can run the Peltier elements with it too.
Yeah, you can have air powered tools. Every factory you go into, they don't have electrical tools, they have pneumatic tools.
Yeah.
And pneumatic tools are stronger.
Yeah. The amount of torque in the pneumatic tools is insane.
Yeah,
well, that's why they put your tires on your car with them.
And if they ain't careful, they'll break the stud off your car.
You have a solid floor. Okay. What do you need next? You need a workbench.
Yep.
What do you build the workbench out of?
Well, I'm going to have the workbench to where any kind of vibration whatsoever, throw a little bit of juice back into it, because you know we're going to be banging on that workbench. So I'm going to have that workbench made out of some really sturdy wood or whatever. And I'm just going to have power plugs in it and everything all in there nice and neat. And those power plugs are going to be hooked up to multiple different deals, because I don't believe in putting all my eggs in one basket. So I'm going to use every single thing that that house does naturally. Light comes through the window, so I'm going to use that doggone window to produce energy. I'm going to use the walking across the floor to produce energy. I'm going to use what's going on outside to bring cool air inside or keep the house warm either way. This lab, this man lab that we're talking about, is going to be a totally self-contained power generation station of epic proportions that you can have everything you need to do your work in.
Shaziz, do you remember I told you about the can solar system, where you get beer cans, you cut the top and the bottom off them, and you run them in tubes.
Yep.
Then you paint them black, and then you stick them on your roof, and pretty much anywhere other than the North Pole, there's enough solar radiation that the aluminium in the beer cans heats up the air inside the tubes, and with a very small fan, you can then heat the inside of your garden shed.
Yeah, not only that, you can take that air that's coming through that can tube right there, run it through some stainless steel tubing, and the temperature difference in the deal will actually create a condensation that will start dripping down into a bucket just like a regular dehumidifier, and you can start bringing water in out of the doggone air, the atmosphere there. So you've got like a water source going on it while you're doing all your heating and everything. So, you know, hey.
If you live near somewhere where they're growing large bamboo, you can take a piece of bamboo, you can split it in half, and you can put it onto the side of your shed, or wherever your workshop is, if it's in an outside environment. Use it as guttering, and then when you have the downspout into your water collection bar, you can put a turbine in that tube, so as the water is dropping through it, it spins the turbine and produces electricity.
Yep.
And you don't need a battery, because you can use a capacitor bank.
That's right.
If you can't get a battery, you can take big capacitors out of old equipment.
Well, you can also use what the Lord Kelvin generator had, is as the water's falling down through that deal, you're picking up a static charge, but you're also charging up those same capacitor banks while your generator's picking up the water motion. The static energy's being picked up by the Lord Kelvin portion. And so you got even more juice. It'll get to the point where this thing will literally be producing more energy than you need to run your shop. So what you do is what Steve did and run a cord over to your neighbor's house and say, "Brother, can you help me out and waste some of this electricity for me, please?"
Yeah.
And thank you.
I've got too much energy. I need a help.
Just like the those radiant energy circuits that I built. I got a video of those on there. You can't leave those by a Tesla coil too long. The capacitors will start blowing up.
Yeah, so you got to use it.
Yeah, because they can't keep storing it. I mean, I experiment with all different size capacitors just to see what the capacitance would be, and it doesn't matter. If you leave it there long enough, it'll blow up.
Pipe it back into the system, man. It's that simple. That's the thing. You got access to more energy than you'll ever need in a lifetime. And so with that said, you shouldn't be complaining about how high your electric bill is. If you haven't paid attention to what we've been saying, pretty much telling you that, you know, hey, take a light bulb off the doggone deal and put a solar lighting in your roof. And so there's at least half the day you're not using power. Save some money, for Pete's sake. What do you think?
You can make your back EMF circuits too for your solar panels.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
The dual feed.
Yes, the dual seed circuits or the back EMF, so that way you ain't got to worry about your negative spikes hitting everything.
Matthew, have you ever heard of a guy called Ishmael Avizov?
I'm not sure. It's off the top of my head.
I think it was Ishmael Avizov. There was a Filipino guy that had his self-charging electric car a few years ago now, verified by the Philippine Department of Transport as being a self-charging circuit, collecting back EMF radiation.
That's what I do believe. I believe we're also worried about the positive field. But I've noticed with my experiments, I can get huge spikes in the negative realm. In the DC realm, I mean, I'll get down to where my meter overloads. And it's always in the negative. And I'm trying to figure out what is so significant about that. Why is it that you can get more energy out of the negative realm than the positive realm?
Because the same reason why Tesla did what Tesla was doing about baiting electrons out of the earth. See, everything, whether it be AC or DC current, when you got that light switch in the open position where the circuit's not closed and electric can flow, behind that switch is a power buildup. The earth is negatively charged. There is a lot of power in the earth, and that negative charge wants to go anywhere where there's a positive charge. And so whenever you're sitting there with that light switch off, have you ever had the time whenever you went into the bathroom and flipped the light switch on and blew the light bulb right out of the socket?
Yep.
Well, that's what's going on there. So you got all these electrons waiting in line to try to get up there, and as soon as you open the gate, those things come rushing in. And then once it gets into the system and system balances itself out, you got your normal current. That's why they have surge protectors on computers, because when you turn your computer on, that sudden rush in could actually damage your computer, or a sudden spike in energy from a power pole down the corner being turned on and off real quick from a storm or whatever will rush in and destroy your computer. So we have surge protectors to protect our electronics. So with that knowledge, all you got to do is do exactly what Tesla did. You got to do what Ryan Abrams has been doing. You got to do what Matthew's been doing. You got to do what everybody who's been studying Deeds and Terry Woodruff and all them been doing. They have designed circuits or used circuits that have been designed by other individuals to literally have a fast-acting switch that is making use of that massive energy store on the negative side to sit there and flip that switch on and off and actually boost that power up. It's that simple.
That's it. Uh-huh. Well,
I'll tell you what, Shavit. I will make a promise at this stage that I will do my best to make usable technology simple, but make them relevant as well.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the stuff we talk about, people, you know, they find it pretty cool, but they either don't know or don't want to know or don't really have the resources to do. So I will sit down with our community and I will ask as many questions as I need to try and find out how we can do some simple things.
Cool. And I will sit down with you guys on the same deal, and we will literally figure out how we can put this information on the site and everybody else's sites be linked so they can get the information as well. It sounds like a good move forward to me.
Sure.
A mad science laboratory pack.
Yep.
Because you look at the technical laboratories that are run by the powers of the bee. They've got huge resources. We don't. They've got access to knowledge that we would never know. But that does not mean that we do not have access to knowledge that is going to be relevant. Now, my primary aim is two areas: to make your own beer, grow your own food, and use as few resources as possible to do both.
Sounds like a good plan to me. I like the style of your man cave. I'm coming over. Look, make a Skype room on there. That way you'll have access to give the boot to anybody who wants to be controversial in there, because we're not talking about controversy. We're talking about putting combined knowledge together and working towards making things happen, putting solutions out there, simple solutions for everybody to get, you know.
I don't understand half of what you say, Shaziz.
Well, that's fine. I try to explain it in simplest terms as I possibly can.
But the point being is we're not trained teachers.
Nope.
We don't have those skills to be able to impart knowledge to people in basic sequential steps that they can follow.
Well, that's why if you pay attention to my YouTube channel and you notice on there that I'll show simple little ideas. And I'll explain to you just the simple of it. And if you take that idea and you can look past just that idea alone, such as the little telephone deal that I was talking about, you've turned a couple old junky phones that would have otherwise went into the trash or some museum into a communication device for worst case scenario. There's so many simple ideas, the evaporated cooling thing that I showed, that you can expand on, scale them up, scale them down, or whatever. Take those simple ideas, run with them, use your brain for something other than a swimming pool for smut coming off of Dancing with the Stars, and do something.
I just wanted to say something to Matthew. All of those people that are putting derogatory comments on your channel, they're entitled to their opinion.
I don't bash them down for it at all. I'm just, you know.
Oh, no, it's not bashing them down, but is their opinion worth anything?
Exactly. It's not even worth the energy. That's the point that I'm getting at. It's not even worth my energy to waste to even comment on them. Just yesterday was like, I believe, one of my first ones that I really had, and I was just like, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and say something to them, because I've been hit on Skype a couple times, and then on YouTube, it'll come up stating that this is most likely spam. Now, whenever I've clicked on those members and I've approved their messages, I mean, granted, they've been good people that I've spoke to and I've helped them out. And then it was just like, I don't understand why there's people in the world, and I know there's trolls and people that get paid to do it and so on and so forth, but we're all human, and I just don't understand why it comes to that. And so then that's where it comes into play. And I think it's just like a corrupt computer system that's going through, and it pushes you.
I'm right there with you guys. We're down to the wire. We got to end this here so the next shows can come on. But look, hey, this has been a brilliant conversation, and I've been called everything under the sun for my points of view out there, but I'm going to keep on doing what it is I do, and hopefully you guys will do the same. And we'll bring this all together. So before we get up out of here, Matthew, you want to throw your YouTube channel out there so people can come see the stuff you're working on?
Yeah, it's Matthew Drummond, and it's on YouTube. There's a couple Matthew Drummonds on there. I should probably go ahead and edit it a little bit better. But you'll see me sitting in a chair for my main picture, but my main subject, if you YouTube me, just look up my Gerard Morning Replicas, and you can come up with it that way. You'll see my channel in there eventually. Cool. It's in all the Gerard Morning pumps.
And if we'll get links on here for you for people to come to your YouTube channel.
But yeah, I'm just trying to get what I experiment and what I deal with that I think is out of the norm, and it typically shouldn't be able to be done. And just like, for instance, I know the show's about to end, but my next thing that I'm getting ready to try to do is I'm going to take Muddy Mud Man's windmill, and I'm going to try to correlate a Bedini circle with it.
Cool.
And so that way I can get the generator out of the windmill and the energy coming out of the Bedini circuit. If you understand where I'm going with that, Chaziz, you probably followed right along with me.
Yep, I'm with you.
So that's my theory. I don't know if it's going to be too much pressure onto it, but yes, that's it.
We can do this thing, folks. We have everything we need. Steve, you got a YouTube channel you want everybody to know, or just want to say something real quick?
I've been good, I've been bad, and I've been bloody obnoxious. If I've upset people, I apologize. But I am trying to focus on solutions. Au revoir.
Well, brother, you've kept us focused a lot of times. Kept us out of the realm of conspiracy into the realm of solutions. That's beneficial because, you know, Shaziz, when I get on a rant, I'm ready to roll. That's why I call it mad science, folks, because we have the answers. We just need to get together and use them. So with that said, peace and love. You've been listening to the Mad Science Show. Take care.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap. Ah!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.